Holy Father, open our ears, our hearts, and our minds to hear your word that is spoken to us today. We pray, Lord, that we would know the truth, that we would love the truth, and that we would truly love. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this is class participation time. How many of you like to receive personal letters? Honest to goodness, personal letters. Good. Okay, you're not freaks. All right, good. For those of you who are under 40, a letter is a means of communication that was used prior to texting, prior to emails. People would take paper and pencil or pen and actually write something out, slip it in the mail, and it would take days, if not weeks, to actually get someplace. When I was in junior high, I became pen pal with one of my cousins. I'm from a military family, so I didn't have family in the area. My extended family was all out in the Midwest, so my oldest cousin Terry and I started writing to each other. And she was only about 18 months older than I am, still is, I haven't caught up yet. But we would send letters back and forth, telling what was going on, sharing our commiseration about the problems we were having with our younger siblings, asking advice occasionally, and just kind of encouraging each other for whatever it was that we might be doing. Because of this time lag, sometimes it got a little difficult to remember what it was that we might have written in our previous letters, so we had to hold on to the older letters and say, oh, that's what I was responding to, that's what she's responding to. But I remember the most important thing was just looking forward to hearing from her, seeing what she was going to be telling me about what was happening in her life, what was happening in her family's life. And I really enjoyed that. Well, today we have the opportunity to hear from another personal letter. This is the letter to 3 John, or it is the third letter by John. Last week we read 2 John, and Gordon told us a little bit about the author. Just as a reminder, John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was one of the apostles, and at this point, he is serving as an elder for a number of churches. And he identifies himself at the beginning of this letter as the elder. So just to compare a little bit with what Gordon talked about last week, last week's letter was not quite as personal as this one is going to be. It was written to a church as a group. As a whole. It was a little bit more general. Third John is going to be a little bit more specific. We're going to see some examples of things. In some ways, it was a little bit more negative. This one's a little bit more positive. There are both negative and positive aspects in both, telling people what not to do and versus telling people what to do. This one's a little bit more in the positive role. A couple of weeks ago, Tom preached about the end of the Gospel of John. And he talked about people's purposes and said that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves. And at first I thought, great, my letter's all about comparing. But it's different, okay? Tom talked about different roles for different people, all right? Peter had his role, John had his role, right? And Gordon fleshed out for us what John's role was, guarding the truth, okay? He talked about living according to love for others and taking heed against the deception of false teachers. We're going to see more of that in 3 John, okay? There are a lot of similarities between these letters, as I've already said, and one of those is that we're going to see a lot of truth and love. Each of those terms in this letter that we're going to see is used 7 times, some form of each of those words, at least in the original Greek. In the different translations, it gets a little different. But in the original language, each letter is used 7 times. There's also the idea of witnessing or testifying or giving testimony. The word for testifying is used 5 times, but the idea of it is actually used a couple more. So we've got 7 examples there of it being used. And because we're going to see mostly the truth and love, the main idea that I want you to get is that we live as balanced Christians when we hold the truth in love and love in the truth, when we imitate the good and not the bad, We've heard those words already a little bit, some of those. So I'll say it again. We live as balanced Christians when we hold the truth in love and when we love in the truth, when we imitate the good and not the bad. So let's take a look at the letter itself. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. So we've said that this is a personal letter. It is addressed to Gaius. We don't know a lot about Gaius. It's one of the most common names in the Roman world, possibly as common, if not more common, than John in English. Okay, but we know that it is a specific person that he is writing to. And he is the beloved Gaius. John loves him very much. We know that there are a few others named Gaius who are mentioned, but it's unlikely that it's any of those people who are there. It is likely that he's a leader in the local church, because John wouldn't mention some of the problems that he's going to mention later if he wasn't a leader. And it's possible that he owes his conversion to John, as John refers to my children. But this letter starts with, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. Now that's a common greeting in Roman literature, so common that they would actually start to abbreviate it. If it's going well with you, that's great. It's going well with me. Okay? But John adds a little bit more. Not only is it going well with you, not only do I pray that it is going well with you physically, but as well as it is going with your soul. And he knows that it is going well with his soul. Okay? Gaius is what we call a balanced Christian. We're going to see more about that in these coming verses. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. So we said that Gaius is balanced. He holds the truth in love. Okay? John knows that it's going well with his soul because he knows that he is holding the truth in love. He knows the truth, and he loves it. In the Pew Bibles, if that's what you're reading, in the ESV, it says that I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. Okay? When it refers to your truth, this is not some postmodern relativistic, okay, that's your truth, and that's good for you, but I've got my own truth. No, he's talking about the truth. It does use the possessive in the Greek. It says, you're the truth. Okay, literally that's what it says, you're the truth. What's implying there is that it is the possessive. He has it. It's in him, all right? But it is the truth that is expressing itself through his life, okay, through his actions. And he continues to walk in the truth. Last week, Gordon told us that walking is an indication of conduct. How is somebody acting? Okay? So he continues to walk in the truth, and he loves in the truth. His hospitality and his support for the traveling brethren, even though he doesn't know them, strangers as they are, it's a faithful thing. Okay? In 2 John, we learned about the traveling teachers who were going around, some of them actually being sent out from John, from the apostles, from the church, true teachers. And there were also false teachers going out, because teachers of other religions or teachers who were going out from the church who had wrong ideas, whether intentionally or unintentionally, were going out. And they all depended on hospitality. And John had warned in his second letter not to receive any false teachers. But the way to do that is to know the truth. Okay, you have to know what it is so that you can spot the false teachings. Gaius knows the truth. He welcomed the traveling brethren, the brothers that John had sent out earlier. He welcomed them, and he gave them support. They depended on it. And this is a faithful thing. And he does it in all of his efforts. Now, we're all supposed to be spreading the truth, but not everybody can actually go out. We can do it in our local settings, but some of us actually go out. The Hartford Project is going out, and they're going to be sharing the truth. Okay? Not all of us can, but we can become fellow workers in the truth by supporting those who do, by praying for the Hartford Project, by giving money, by giving other provisions. When people come to visit, I know that there are members of the congregation here who have had missionaries come and stay with them for a variety of reasons, okay? And we can give them housing, support, and we become fellow workers in the truth. All of this is a commendation for Gaius, okay? So this is a good example. Then we find someone who is not quite so good, okay? John's letter continues, "I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who wants to help the brothers, and puts them out of the church." Diotrephes is another one that we don't know a lot about. He's not mentioned anywhere else. But we do know that he's ambitious. It says he likes to put himself first. Literally, he loves to be the first of them. Okay, whoever the group is, he likes to be first. He wants to be known. He wants to be important. And he's rejecting John's authority. He does not receive us. Okay, in the ESV, in the Pew Bible, it says he does not acknowledge our authority. In other translations, if you're reading the NIV, it says he does not welcome us. Others, he does not receive us. He's not taking in our word. He's not recognizing us. Okay? There are some commentators who try and soften it a little bit, who say that, well, this could be a little bit of tension between the apostolic leadership versus elder leadership. It's possible that Diotrephes is a leader in the church. Probable if he actually has the authority to try and put people out of the church. And there's some sort of tension between the apostles and the elders. At this point, as Gordon mentioned, John is probably the only surviving apostle. So we're in a transitional period for the church anyway. So as the churches are trying to feel their own independence, it's possible that Diotrephes is trying to exercise that independence. But Gaius is almost also an elder. Otherwise, John wouldn't have mentioned the problems that he's having. And if that's the case, then they've got a split on their elder board. That's never a good thing. Okay? In any case, Diotrephes likes his own ideas. He doesn't want to accept whatever John has to say. So Diotrephes is an example of somebody who is unbalanced, at least in terms of the balance that we're seeking, because he's not holding to the truth. Okay? He may think that he's right. He may think that whoever he's welcoming is right, probably thinks he's right, but he's not holding to the truth. It tells us that he is talking wicked nonsense against us. He's gossiping. Okay? Some commentators have even suggested that he is opening his home to the false teachers that John warned about in the second letter. We don't know whether that's true or not. But at the very least, he's talking wicked nonsense. He's not speaking the truth. He's not holding to the truth. Okay? And he's not loving. Again, malicious talk is not exactly a loving act, but he's also refusing hospitality to the traveling brothers. Okay? And not being satisfied with just not giving hospitality himself, anybody else who wants to give them hospitality, he says, no, you can't do that. You have to leave. Okay? Excommunicating them from the church. Not a word that we use very often in our situation. But it's not a loving act, regardless, when he's not holding to the truth. John is possibly concerned that Gaius may even end up being influenced by Diotrephes, and that's probably why he goes into his next statement. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Now, this is typical of John's writing, of the duality. He talks about good versus evil. He talks about light versus darkness. He talks about being from above or being from below. And John very often leaves no middle ground. So what is the good? Well, first of all, he's referring to the continual habit of doing good. It's not just doing a good action, a good deed here and there. He's talking about making it a lifestyle, okay? Constantly doing good. We're all sinners. We're all going to sin at some point. We're all going to fall flat and do something wrong, do something evil. Maybe not
evil,
but we're going to do something wrong, okay? John is referring to the continual acts, okay? Constantly a lifestyle of doing good or doing evil. Okay? So doing good is also obeying God's commands. Elsewhere, in 1 John, he tells us that the command is to believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ and to love one another. Anything other than that is evil. Okay? That's the duality. All right? You're either good or you're evil. So following in God's commands is doing good. So as we've said, all of our good deeds are as filthy rags. Okay? So it doesn't matter how good we are. That's part of the truth. Remember, you've heard it said from up here before. Here's the good news. You're worse than you thought. But the better news is that God is greater than you thought. Okay? So no matter how good we are, it's not good enough because God demands perfection. Okay? God demands perfection. None of us can live up to that. But his Son Jesus Christ, the incarnate Son who did come down from heaven in the flesh, lived the perfect life for us, and then gave himself up to die the death that we deserved. That's what we need. Why we need to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And then to love one another because of that. Earlier in the letter, he said he called him the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth, or whom I love in the truth. Well, the article isn't really there in the Greek. And it doesn't necessarily really matter, because we should love each other truly. Truly love one another. But if we do have the article in there, love in the truth, well, then that's our reason for loving. We love because God first loved us. And that's why we should love one another. So whether the article is there doesn't really matter, because we still need to love one another. Gaius has already been commended for his actions. But to reinforce it a little bit further, John goes on after talking about, after giving the exhortation of imitating good instead of evil. He says, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So Demetrius is somebody else we don't know very much about. There are two others mentioned in the New Testament. We have no way of knowing if it's either one of them. But we do know that Gaius probably didn't know him. At least he doesn't know him very well, because otherwise John wouldn't need to give him this commendation. Okay? Diotrephes might have known him. He might have had something against him. That might have been why he wasn't welcoming Demetrius. If he was one of the other two people who are mentioned, then Diotrephes may have had good reason not to want him in here, because the two others mentioned in the New Testament, weren't nice guys. Okay? But whether he had reason or not, he's not acting in love. And if he was one of the other two Demetriuses who was mentioned, then his life has changed by the gospel. because it tells us that he's received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. So just like Gaius was walking in the truth, and they have testified to the truth that is in him, okay, when it says that the truth itself is testifying to Demetrius, then it's saying that the truth that is in him is living itself out in his life, speaking a good word for him. His conduct reflects spiritual standing. He does well. He does good. He is balanced. He has received favorable reports. There are three witnesses. Everyone, the truth itself, and then John and his companions. And this reflects an application of Jewish law. Okay? Three witnesses establishes the facts. Demetrius is good. You can trust him. Right? And so the truth itself is referring to his living out the truth that is within him. So Demetrius is trustworthy. We have a commendation for him. Gaius is trustworthy. We have a commendation for him. They can continue to live out their lives. They should imitate what is good. As Paul tells us in Philippians, note the pattern that I have left you. Okay? Follow others who are following me. Note those with whom we establish the pattern in the church and follow them. Imitate them. John has a lot more that he wants to say. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. So he's planning on coming. It's almost like he's telling Gaius, I'm coming. I'm not telling Diotrephes I'm coming, but I'm coming. And we'll talk. And then I'm going to let Diotrephes know that he's wrong. But it closes with more love in community. He says, greet each other by name. Greet all the faithful brethren. All of them. Some translations say one by one. Have that close personal contact with everybody. One of the criticisms that we've had is that we're not as communal-minded as we should be. There's another way that we can grow. So what do we do with this? We need to hold the truth in love. In order to hold the truth in love, we need to know what the truth is. We need to be reading. We need to be studying. We need to be listening. We need to know the truth. We can't refute the false teachers if we don't know what the truth is. So we need to know the truth and we need to hold it in love. We need to love one another. We need to support one another. We need to share with one another. Occasionally, we need to rebuke one another. That's loving. When we know that somebody is going off the rails and they don't know it, and we pull them back, that's loving. We need to be discerning in our role models. We need to imitate the good and not the bad. So look around, not right now, but look around the church and identify those that you know the truth, hold the truth in love, and are loving one another, and imitate them. Knowing that none of us are perfect. I'm saying that so nobody's looking at me. Okay? We've all got room to grow. What will your legacy be? Will you be the role model? You should be the role model. I should be a role model. We should be a role model for our community. What will your legacy be? We need to live as balanced Christians, and we need to do that by holding the truth in love and loving in the truth, when we imitate the good and not the bad. There is a story told by the church fathers about John in his later years, when he was so old that he would have to be carried to the church meetings. And they would ask him to speak, and you've probably heard this story before, and he would say, little children, love one another. And he said that all the time. And some people finally got a little tired of it. John, you knew the master. Don't you have anything else to tell us? Why is that all you ever say? Love one another. And his response was, because it is the Lord's command. And if this only is done, it is enough. We live as balanced Christians when we hold the truth in love and we love in the truth, when we imitate the good and not the bad. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. We thank you for allowing that truth to live in our hearts. And we pray, Father, that it would grow deeper and deeper, that we would know your truth better and better, and that we would live out that truth, walking in the truth on a daily basis, loving one another and loving you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, would you please stand for the benediction? From the words of John himself, adapted. Beloved ones, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health, just as it goes well with your souls. Peace be to you. Amen.